وعليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله ذو فضل كرم إحسان الله تعالى. We find ourselves in the house of Allah Ta'ala on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Slowly our Hujjaj also will start returning. So we must try and meet the Hujjaj and request them to make dua for us. Their duas are still accepted for a long time. Whenever we are studying history, Islamic history, then one of the things that is mentioned to us by our Asatiza is that by studying history, we learn many lessons. One is studying the seerah of Huzur-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That brings us closer to sunnah. Studying the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum brings us closer to our deen, closer to sunnah. But in general, looking at Islamic history, the different khalifas, the different situations, sometimes, you know, I remember a friend of mine, Maulana Ibrahim Seder. We were school friends in Ladysmith, and he had then gone on to the UK, and alhamdulillah is running a madrasa there. So one occasion when he came down, and I went to meet him, so at that time, we were just facing, you know, this Shiism thing was starting and a couple of other things were starting in the country. Salafiyat. Things were just opening up after apartheid. So a lot of different influences were coming in. So I was speaking to him about it. I said, you know what? We are facing these challenges and those challenges. So he told me, he said, Maulana, why don't you make a trip to the UK? Come and sit with some of our senior ulama. Because we finished face these things. Because they were already a cosmopolitan society. So he says, you know what, instead of reinventing the cartwheel, come and sit and talk to our ulama. When it comes to other aspects, you people are way ahead. Because we are a fairly young Muslim community in the UK as compared to South Africa. But when it comes to this, we were faced with this from day one. So if you come and speak to the ulama there, they will be able to tell you what strategies to put in place. So like that, when we study history, certain things that we are faced with today, and we feel, no man, this can't be, this is not possible, or whatever. But when you study history, you find, no, these things all finished take place. All these things took place. And by holding on to deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ayat of the Quran Sharif will hold true till Qiyamah. جَاءَ الْحَقْ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. So I was reading one kitab. The kitab is the Maktubat of Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullah Ali. So I thought I'd just share with you something. Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullah Ali, in his time, there were two Mughal rulers. He seen the era of two Mughal rulers. And there was a heavy decline of Muslims at that time. Islam is never on a decline. But the condition of Muslims is sometime on a decline. So the first ruler was a person by the name of Jalaluddin Akbar. In India now, he was ruling, Mughal ruler. This Jalaluddin Akbar, his mindset as a ruler was to be very sympathetic towards the Hindus. So at all costs, I mean, no, we must live together and we give them the benefit of the doubt and allow them, you know, we must integrate with them. This was his mindset. And if any Muslim spoke out against that, And that person was silenced. No, 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 you are old-fashioned and you are, what's the other word they use? Fundamentalist and like this and like that, and you're not with the times, and you know. So he saw this era of Jalaluddin Akbar, which brought a lot of harm to the Muslims. Because Islam was like being stifled, the Hindus were given a lot of prominence, you must mix with them, allow their rituals, allow whatever they are doing. If they say certain things that are offensive to Muslims and Islam, no, must forgive it. But if a Muslim has to speak out, then that Muslim is suppressed. And in his time, Jalaluddin Akbar's time, he had the support of ulama also. They were also with the government. And they continued. So this was done, maintain peace with everybody at all costs, because they wanted the people to consider them to be liberal. And you know what? We got vision. We are broad-minded. You people are being too old-fashioned. You're in the camel age. You're just holding on. No, no, no. You got to change with the times, and you got to understand the community that we're working with, etc. So this was Jalaluddin Akbar's time. After Jalaluddin Akbar, the next ruler that came in was Nuruddin Jahangir. Nuruddin Jahangir. So this Nuruddin Jahangir, he was not like what we would say MBS today. The changing Islam, and no, you must just accept, let the Jews also come to Madinah Munawwara, and all this filth that is taking place. Right? So this Jalaluddin Akbar was like that. But this Nuruddin Jahangir was not like that. But he was hungry for Hubbe Jah, fame. He wanted fame. So much fame he wanted, that in the end, he even instructed that the people must make sajda to him. And he made the muftis issue a verdict that sajda e ta'zim is permissible. That we're not making sajda to worship him, we're just making sajda to honor him, to respect him, because he is our ruler. So the muftis of the time passed the fatwa that it is permissible. You can bow down to him. A sajda of ta'zim. So this Nuruddin Jahangir, this was his one problem. The other problem was, he was infatuated with his wife. Her name was Nur Jaha. But this Nur Jaha was a Shia. But he was so infatuated with her that anything she says goes. So much so that when it came to any ruling, administration, whatever, it was like she's in charge. Right? And her influence was so strong, that eventually she appointed a person by the name of Nurullah Shastari as the chief justice, the Qazi, the chief Qazi. And that person was a Shia. All this is happening in a Muslim rule. Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullah alayhi, he is combating this. That's why he's known as the Mujaddid. So he was faced with four major challenges. One is the Ummat was involved in pagan practices. Because Jalaluddin Akbar allowed all these things. Oh, Hindu customs must be common and don't stop them and whatever. So a lot of Muslims now, they grew up witnessing all of this and they started getting involved and they brought it into Islam. And some of that badbu is prevalent even today in our communities. It's present even today. A lot of things we brought, Hindu customs, and we have got it in our, and we consider it like part of our lifestyle, part of our deen. All this, before the girl gets married, all these customs that take place and whatever way it's coming from, it's all Hindu pagan customs. So, this Jalaluddin Akbar, now this was the one challenge that Mujaddid was faced with, right? That people were involved in all these customs and they were considering it to be deen. The second thing is a lot of bid'at. New things, things that were never there in the deen. Now new things are being introduced. I want you, Allah Ta'ala has given each person aqal. Whatever I'm saying to you, bring it to our present day context. Bring it to our present day context. So what is happening to us as an ummah in today's time? So a lot of bid'at, a lot of innovations crept in. The third thing is the ignorant Sufis. They started claiming that, you see, tariqat is something else, shariat is something else. So if you prove to them that the practice that they are doing is wrong in the light of the shariat, they say, no, that's shariat. This is tariqat. Tariqat is for the islah of the people and to get them connected. But they were doing practices that were sometimes acts of shirk. Sometimes it was bid'at, sometimes it was even bordering on shirk. But they say, no, this is tariqat. Don't get involved here now. This is tariqat. And the fourth thing is that there was a major Shia influence. Whether Nur Jahan was planted there, Nur Jahan, whether she was planted, it's not something far-fetched. That she was planted there to infatuate this Jahangir and then to cause this Shia influence to spread. Right? Like in today's time also, simple question if you have to ask certain authorities, but what's the fatwa on the Shia? No, they won't give an open fatwa on the Shia. Why? What's the reason? So you find the Shia influence rising at that time. So Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali, he starts writing against this. He starts speaking against it, writing to people who are close to the king, that you know what, this, you are answerable. You have to make Amar bin Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar. So obviously when you are going to start talking haq, then people are not going to like you. So the scholars at that time who were worldly motivated or they were in a modernist type of mindset, they felt we've got to be liberal and we got to be moving with the times. So they felt threatened by Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali. The Shias, they were threatened. So the Shias now, they had the queen on their side. So they started a whole propaganda campaign against Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali, distorting his teachings, misrepresenting his letters. So a whole smear campaign, propaganda campaign was carrying on. And eventually, this propaganda got so serious that even certain senior ulama started having their doubts on Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali. They even wrote. And then, eventually, this whole thing reached the king. This Mujaddid is causing a lot of problem. Obviously, he was not known as Mujaddid at the time. He's causing a lot of problem, splitting the ummah, and he's doing this. All he was doing is trying to preserve deen in its pristine purity. That's all. He could see the way things are going. By somebody has to take a stand here. The way things are going, where will we end up? There'll be nothing left of our deen. So he was summoned to the court of the king. He went there to Jahangir. Jahangir was a sincere person. Yes, he was caught up in his, you know, hubbe-jah and caught up in the infatuation with his wife, who unfortunately happened to be a Shia. But like that, he was not, you know, he didn't have anything against Islam. Unlike Jalaluddin Akbar. Jalaluddin Akbar, then the Turkish Ataturk, and today we have this person in Saudi, he didn't have that kind of a mindset. So he asked Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali to explain himself. So So he explained himself when he cleared all the allegations. And the king was happy. So the king released him. But you see, these people, they not happy. So they went back to the king. They say, no. You didn't ask him about the sajda, if can make sajda to you. Because all the senior muftis in the land have passed the fatwa, it's permissible, only he never passed the fatwa. So call him and tell him to make sajda to you. So now the Mujaddid Al-Fithani rahmatullahi was brought back to the king. And the king asked him, what is your ruling? He says, it's shirk. He said, I instruct you to bow down to me. He said, I never do it. We can only bow down to Allah Ta'ala. We can't bow down to anybody else. So the king was so mad that he instructed he must be put to death. But later on, he had a change of heart. He said, okay, imprison him indefinitely. Imprison him indefinitely. But the prison in which they put him, he had such an influence on the inmates there, on the warders there, all those people started coming onto deen. So the king also now is thinking, this person was so bad, how come such a deeny influence he is having? So eventually, the king has a dream. You see, when Allah Ta'ala wants to save somebody, the king has a dream. The Jahangir. He dreams Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like reprimanding him. You have imprisoned a person like that? So immediately he gave the order for his release. But these people of Batil will still not give up. So they went back to the king. They said, all right, you're releasing him. But because of his rebellious nature, you rather keep him close to you. Keep him close to you. Because if he's far from you, then he'll get up to all other things. You rather keep him close to you. So the king instructed that he has to be part of the royal court. Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali. Now he's staying in close proximity with the king. You see, when a person is Allah's, then Allah will make other people Allah's through that person. So this Jahangir, when he is interacting with Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali, he's observing him, interacting with him, he became his murid. The king became his murid. And it is mentioned that at times when Mujaddid Rahmatullah Ali, he went back to his home, the king used to take time off, Jahangir used to take time off to go and spend time there in the sohbat of his sheikh. And those ulama also, who initially they were also influenced by this negative propaganda, they too saw the light, and they too asked Mafi, they too set the record straight. And like this, Allah Ta'ala brought about a whole change in that whole empire. And from there, from that progeny of Jahangir, Aurangzeb was born. And he was a Muslim ruler of note amongst the Mughals. So this wheels turning is happening from time immemorial. You will always get that we as Muslims, we live amongst the kuffar, we get influenced, sometimes with too much interaction with governments. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us in the Hadith Sharif, warnings, not to get too close to the kings, not to get too close to the rulers. Because with time what happens is a person's thinking changes. He starts thinking like that. And then Allah Ta'ala will always have people who will stand up and proclaim what is haq. And those people will always be in the minority. And those people will always be spoken against. But that is their test, to remain with istiqamat. To remain with istiqamat for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And then in the end, deen will always triumph. And this will carry on till qiyamah. It will carry on. The cycle will continue till qiyamah. I was mentioning to Bari before Juma, that just see now, when this whole, I don't know what you want to call it, this whole issue with this COVID thing happened. So, at that time now, the WHO, they gave all these protocols. So many of us, Allah forgive us and guide us, but so many of the ummah were influenced. No, that's the way now to save ourselves. And our ulama, our seniors who were telling us at that time, we can't listen to this. We got our deen. We can't listen to them. We have to follow the instructions in our deen. So at that time, those ulama were told, stay in your lane. This is a health matter. It's to do with science, medical science. It's not to do with masla, masail, and Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif. You stay in your lane. This is to do with medicine and science. You all don't understand this thing. So here we have to listen to the experts in that field. So if the WHO, who are the experts in that field, if they are giving this, then we have to listen to it. Right? And so many ulama too were caught up in that. And muftis too were caught up in that. And fatwas were passed, everything. So the question now is, that this same WHO, now in this week, they have released their findings now, that sexuality and gender is not confined to male and female. This is their new development now. That is not confined now to male and female. So now what are we going to say now? Now are we going to say that, yes, no, they are the experts in the health and the science field. So ulama, you stay in your lane, and now we have to accept what they're saying. So was it not right at that time, when our ulama told us at that time, our seniors told us at that time, that see, don't listen to them. We got Quran and Hadith. We got to follow this. We can't listen to what they are saying. So always reflect, always reflect. And remember that we have got guidance from Allah Ta'ala. And we got to stick with that. There's no other authority that can come, that can overrule what Allah Ta'ala and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam have instructed us. What they have shown us, we have to stick to that. And challenges will be faced. Challenges will be faced. And we must not think that scholars cannot be negatively influenced. Because when you read up in history, it has happened in every era. In every era it has happened. So this is why always stick to what is the truth as we understood our deen. There's one incident and we'll conclude. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was on the flight and next to him was some medical professor. So they got into a conversation and that person is telling Hazrat that no, our findings now that even if a person got cholesterol, even if he eats one egg a day too, is no problem. Before the findings was cholesterol patient mustn't eat egg. Then they said, no, you can eat one egg a week. Then they said, now he said, no, our new findings are one egg a day too is not a problem. So Hazrat told him in a beautiful way, respectful way, but you know what, with all due respect, you know, your findings, we can't have etimad on it. Because when we were small, you all told us that we mustn't eat the peel of the apple, we must only eat the apple. Must peel it and then eat the apple. Then later on you all had new findings that no, you must eat the peel with the apple. The peel also got a lot of fiber. As I said, just now you all will find another findings. You all will tell us only eat the peel, throw the apple away. So your findings, we can't really rely on it. So we must hold on to our deen. Wallahi, this zamanas we are going through, we can't be passive about it. We have to hold on to our deen. We have to establish deen in our homes, in our families, and we have to be firm. Against all odds, you have to be firm. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.